The preceding program, you are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. There's no straddling the line in here, and certainly no straddling the line for the offense.
Get in or get out.
Matt Wilhelm, strong words for the faithful.
Come on, man.
We're going to hear now from the offensive coordinator of the Cleveland Browns, John DeFilippo.
That was a great win this past weekend. You know, the best thing about this win was, you know, it was a total team effort. You know, offense, defense, and special teams, you know, contributed to our victory. Those are the best types of wins. And it was really, really good to see. It was really good to see us, you know, run the ball with some success. You know, it's a lot easier calling plays when you can run the football a little bit. And it was good to see, you know, I thought we played much more physical up front. I thought our backs, tracks were better, and they broke tackles, which was great to see. You know, we started fast again. And that's a credit to our offense. You know, they've bought into what we're doing in terms of the openers. They study the openers. They know what to expect. And hopefully we can continue that on Sunday. Big thanks to the Dog Pound. Huge thanks to the Dog Pound. You know, for a millisecond there, I felt sorry for the Titans offense in terms of having to deal with that crowd noise, knowing what that's like, but it lasted for about a millisecond, and we need that again on Sunday from our fans. And I thought they did a great job. They had a huge, huge part in our victory.
Hey, John, how vital was it to have a guy like Travis Benjamin who can stretch a defense and make them worry about that vertical ball?
Well, that's huge, because not only is he a threat to go deep, but when you're a threat to go deep, you get a lot of soft coverage. So it opens up the routes underneath also, which gives you opportunities to catch and run with space. So that's a huge part of having a guy with that type of speed on your offense side.
Can you talk about the decision to go with McCollum over Manziel?
Yeah, you know, and it was something that we thought about for a while. You know, we felt that Josh's only play time was a 19-play, 90-yard drive on the road against a defense that, as we saw the other night, I think we all can all agree they're going to, that's a pretty good defense. And so right now we feel like Josh probably gives us the best chance to win. It's a long season. I told both guys yesterday we're going to need them both. But it wasn't a quick it wasn't a quick decision. It was something that we did think about, and it was very deliberate. But right now we just feel like Josh McCown gives us the best chance to win.
How much did obviously Manziel had the big plays, which were huge, but he also fumbled four times in the last two games. How much did that play into it?
It had a factor. It definitely did. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you and say it didn't. It did. It was a piece of the decision, though. It wasn't the whole decision because, you know, when you look at Johnny's seven quarters, you know, he's done some really good things also. So, but that definitely factors into it. The number one thing when you play quarterback is you have to protect the football, because if you don't protect the football, then obviously you're not giving yourself the best chance to win.
Being around him and how an old guy like that has managed to survive this long.
Charles Woodson? First off, if you watch the tape, I mean, Charles, you would never know Charles has played that long as he has. I mean, I used to go up to him the last few years and just tell him how fun it was to watch a pro. I mean, he's a pro's pro. The guy doesn't say a word when he shows up to all he does is work. He studies tape. You know, I compared him this week to our offensive players is Lynch from Tampa Bay. I mean, he's seen every route. He jumps routes. He knows route concepts. It was a fun being able to get to know him and watch him go through his weekly routine. And I think a lot of players in this league, if they just watch how he conducts himself both on and off the field, can learn a lot from Charles.
Have you seen what you need to see out of Dwayne Bowen practice?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Dwayne's 100% still yet. I don't. I think he's getting better, but I still don't think Dwayne's 100%. And it's hard. It's hard to go out there and perform at this level when you're not 100%. And it's hard enough on a good day when you are 100%. So we just need to keep, you know, I don't want to say force-feeding Dwayne, but just kind of limiting what he's doing. And that way we don't, you know, aggravate that hamstring again.
Do you remember, take back to when you were coaching the Raiders on draft night, I guess it would have been the second night. Were you guys surprised that Carr fell to you that far down?
I was. I was definitely surprised. I thought he was – I don't want to say what team I thought he was going to, you know, because there was a lot of speculation before the draft. I gave Derek a first round grade. I did. And I thought Derek was a first round quarterback, yes.
I think EJ's doing everything he can do.
You know, I think those other three guys are playing well right now. And you know, the unique thing about our tight end position is they all three guys serve different roles. But none of them are deficient enough to where, like, you don't feel like you can't put Jim Dre in a passing situation or Rob Hauser in a running situation or Gary in any situation. So I think EJ just needs to continue to get in the book, continue to know, you know, have his weekly plan on getting ready for a game plan. And, you know, he's further along than most rookie tight ends I've been around. So we're very, very pleased with his progress.
I heard you just say that you're not going to say what team you thought he might go to. But was the Browns one of the ones you thought he might be?
I don't want to get into that. But I just knew the four or five teams in the first round that were looking for quarterbacks. And, you know, I knew the Browns were one of them. But I don't want to really get into that right now.
What do you know about Travis? He's a receiver before you got here, and then what's impressed you? Because he didn't have a ton of reps before you got here.
I really didn't know much, to be honest with you. I did not know much about Travis at all. I knew him as more of a special teams player. And when we got here in the spring, I just noticed this guy that had really good hands and could run fast. And I was like, there's a place for this guy in the field somewhere. And so we sped him along, and he got actually, you know, I forget what he injured, but he injured something. It may have been his hamstring in spring, so he didn't even have a full allotment of OTAs in the installation. So that it's a credit to him how far he's come as a receiver, and he's worked his butt off.
Last week you told us that you felt that Johnny could be a quality starter and that he had tremendous physical attributes. Mm-hmm. As you send him, you know, kind of back to the bench after having seen him play for those first two games, do you feel even more so than you did before, or how do you feel?
Yes,
about
more
that?
So, more so. And I'll tell you, I'm so proud of Johnny. I can't. I said it in front of the offense yesterday. I couldn't be prouder of a young man how far he's come. Not only talking football, but from a life standpoint, how far he's come. And again, I wasn't here last year, so I don't know the ins and outs of what went on here. All I know is what I've heard and what I've seen from, you know, when I got to know him in the draft process. The kid's a different young man, and he really is. And obviously the way he's improved his life off the field has definitely translated to his life on the field. And I couldn't be prouder of the way Johnny's progressed both on and off the football field.
So the future looks bright then, do you think, here at quarterback?
I think so. I definitely think so.
When you look at the second touchdown catch, the first one that Travis had last week,
mm-hmm.
Was it kind of reached out, was it a hands catch? Or, I mean, it looked like it was a difficult catch.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, we knew that. See, that play has a couple different options on it. They were in quarters coverage is what we were hoping they were going to be in. So quarters coverage is when each DB has a quarter of the field. So when you hard play action at a quarter safety, he's got to come down and run support. So Travis had the option, if it was quarters coverage, to run right past him, okay, because the safety's going to be down run support. And so you saw the heavy play action fake right at Griffin. And then – really, our landmark is right up the hash. That's where we want that ball thrown and caught, is right up the hash. So as soon as I saw quarters coverage, I said over the headset, I was like, this one's got a chance. And, you know, obviously Travis made a great play. I mean, I wouldn't even say it was a hands catch. It was more he fingertipped it, I mean, when you put it in slow motion. So he made a great play for us, and Johnny made a great throw. And like I said, talking about home field advantage, I haven't heard a crowder up like that in a long time. So that was really, really cool to see.
What was that
play designed for originally? Because Pat said that you said coaching was overrated.
Well, that was the second touchdown.
Right, the second one. So that's, I'm sorry. That's
yeah, well, what happened was we had a little bit of a protection. I'd say not a little bit, a lot of a protection breakdown on the left side. Okay, we weren't supposed to have a man free on the left side there. And Johnny made a great play, and we're running a three-man flood to the right. Okay, max protecting, sliding the line to the left, max protection, and flooding the right side. You know, safe throw on third and long there, but a chance to get the first down. And so we had a protection breakdown, and actually Travis came all the way from the backside, and Johnny found him in the scramble drill, and it was a great play by both those guys.
How good is Manziel as a passer now, based on what you saw Sunday, and what's he need to do to become a really good NFL passer?
Well, I would say he's a good NFL passer right now.
I think there's always room for improvement. I just think the more, I don't want to say Johnny lacks any athletic traits that you need to be a quarterback. He has those. The thing he just needs is experience in playing in an NFL system and experience in playing in NFL games. And I think the more he just concentrates on being in this system, because that's the one he's in right now, the better he'll get.
With that experience, I mean, it seemed like you really buttoned him up after the 21-0 lead, which is natural, but even it seemed to be even more pronounced that the team was not afraid, but cautious about letting Manziel pass to extend drives.
Yeah, I wouldn't say we were cautious. I would say, to me, I mean, our defense was played lights out the other day. I mean, in the Tennessee Titans now, that's a well-coached offense now. That's a well-coached offense. And our defense shut those guys down. So, I mean, they didn't move. Our defense played awesome and was getting to the quarterback. So we just didn't want to put our guys in a situation to where we're going to make a critical mistake. And that's the way we chose to play the game at that time.
Confident and why did Josh be able to pick up where we left off after that preseason and the first drive against the Jets?
Just knowing Josh, nothing tells me that he won't pick up right where he left off. I mean, to drive 90 yards on that defense on the road, Josh will be fine on Sunday.
The first passes over 40 yards are up across the league.
Mm.
What is that a byproduct of? Our coordinators being more aggressive? Is it early in the season? That's just kind of...
I think it's a combination, probably a little bit of, I would guess, I've never coached on defense, but I think probably, I mean, you don't tackle, you know, as much in preseason and during practice and training camp. So probably a little bit of it is, I want to say, poor tackling. I haven't done a study, but I'm just guessing here. And I would say, you know, the receivers around the league nowadays, big men. These guys are big men that can run fast. So going up and making plays and, next thing you know, the DB falls down, jumping up for a ball, and it's a walk-in touchdown. Yeah, here than here.
it's probably fair to say that most guys, or not most guys, but some guys wouldn't be able to handle the pressure of Johnny Manziel being right on their heels, especially coming off a win. How do you think Josh is going to be able to handle that?
Well, Josh and I have been in this situation together, actually, in 07 with Jamarcus Russell. And we had drafted Jamarcus number one overall. And we had traded for Josh on draft day that spring. And then we drafted Jamarcus with the first pick of the draft. So he's handled that situation before. He'll handle it like a total pro. You know, and the thing about Josh is, though, I pulled him aside yesterday, and I wanted to tell him, I said, hey, you just go out and be yourself. A quarterback cannot go out there and play tight, cannot play going out being afraid to make a mistake. I mean, you have to go out there and cut it loose. So I think he'll be fine with that. He's one of the most mentally tough people I've ever met in my life.
Back to the first touchdown, when you say deep quarters and the safety comes up, then you have the deep ball. What if the safety doesn't come up?
We had Brian Hartline in the second progression running what we call a drift, which is a 12-yard basically in cut. Then we had Malcolm Johnson on a collision flat out to the left. It was Gary Barnage. We're in 12. What's that?
Is that an example of a young quarterback growing and reading?
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, that was a huge, huge alert for us this week. If you see quarters coverage on this play, we're throwing the deep ball. And I had a good feeling that we would see that, and we did. And our guys did a great job executing the play.
That was offensive coordinator John DeFilippo. Matt, let me ask you, when you've coached somewhere like John DeFilippo did in Oakland, he worked with Derek Carr last year. Some of the guys are new. Obviously, basically every pass catcher is new. Crabtree,
yep.
Cooper, Clive Walford. But how much knowledge can you get as a coach? Because the scheme's going to be different. It's a different coaching staff. But in just knowing the players, how helpful is that?
I believe that, especially in the fact that he was a quarterback coach, he spent significant time with Derek Carr. There are strengths and weaknesses that Derek Carr possesses that will, in fact, help you understand what type of concepts, what type of routes he throws best. your game plan is going to be made up of a lot of the routes that he throws very well.
And you'll know what he doesn't feel comfortable with.
That's exactly right. So you're going to deviate away from some of the things that he struggled with as a rookie. And then, of course, you go into understanding the Musgrave offense and what it is, what concepts they like, and you base that off of what happened last week. And you use that as a tendency to understand Derek Carr better, having known him personally, than a quarterback that he had not.
All right, we'll be back with our final thoughts, wrapping up this Thursday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, the kickoff of Week 3 and the National Football League.